Welcome to Panelcast, Forbidden Panels podcast featuring comic books, video games, and movie news and reviews. And now, your host, AJ Herrera.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 138 of the Panelcast. This is Anthony, back again with your perennial host, AJ.
Hi.
There we go. And this time around, we've got our typical news segment. We've got a bunch of stuff to cover for you this time. We've got a nice review of the Fantastic Four for you.
And I don't know if y'all want to say nice.
Hey, it'll be nice. It'll be nice. And a bunch more coming for you right after this break.
Hey guys, this is Dan.
And this is Jen.
We're your hosts on The Road Ahead.
Add us on Facebook and find out about some of the interesting, odd, and amazing places you can visit on your next road trip.
Just go to www.facebook.com/The Road Ahead Series. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Road Ahead Series, or simply follow us at Road Ahead Series.
Thanks, and we'll see you on The Road Ahead. Now back to the Panelcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Panelcast. This is our first segment, which is Anthony's favorite segment in our newscast.
My favorite segment.
Yep, you keep saying it. That is your favorite.
It's everybody's favorite.
It's just your favorite.
Okay, so my favorite is everybody's favorite then.
How do you know? You don't talk to anybody but me.
I talk to people. They talk, I'm sure.
And you walk by them.
I sort of listen.
Why don't you take it away with the first story?
All right. My first bit of news is something of interest to me and anime geeks all over the place. Well, those of whom have Netflix subscriptions and don't have a Crunchyroll subscription, at least. Fate Stay Night Unlimited Blade Works, a utterly fantastic series that's a slight spin on the original Fate Stay Night story because it focuses mainly on Rin Tosaka instead of Emi Ishiro, is now streaming on Netflix. So if you haven't caught the first season of Unlimited Blade Works, which was just utterly fabulous graphically, story-wise, the characters were great, the action sequences were totally awesome. If you haven't caught it yet and you have a Netflix subscription, it is up there in its entirety. It is English dub, but you have the option to watch it the way I do, which is Japanese language and English subtitles as well. So, yeah. It's news. It's awesome. It's anime.
And it is literally completely Japanese to me.
Well,
yeah. No idea what you just said, but okay, awesome. That's cool.
Hey, there are people out there who know. I'm speaking their language.
I am sure there are. You may be speaking their language, but you're still not having a conversation with them.
Fine.
Anyway, moving on. One of my, I wouldn't say favorites, but one of my very comic book I came across last year and read the entire series of and was very impressed and enjoyed is coming to a film adaptation. And that is Mark Millar's Nemesis. With Kingsman, the Secret Service, being one of the biggest success stories of the year, it's no surprise that other film adaptations of the works of comic author Mark Millar that are currently in development have scored another look by studios. Now, Nemesis came out last year, as I said, and around the time that Kingsman was being signed, a whole bunch of other properties by Mark Millar were being signed by other films, being turned into films as well. Apparently, it got to a point where he wasn't even done writing, and they were being optioned as films, thanks to the success of his kick-ass films and Kingsman Secret Service. So, Nemesis is an awesome story, which I'm a huge fan of. And what it's about is a supervillain origin comic book about a billionaire genius and fighter who travels the world as a costume menace. That's just to dumb it down. There's a point where I just can't give it away, but it's take any villain movie and just pump it up to the extreme, and that's what this book is about. And I was wrong. It came out in 2010. And it's honestly a story where the good guy is just background noise.
So the focal point is the villain.
Is the villain. Hence the name Nemesis.
That's kind of awesome. That's kind of really awesome because that very rarely actually happens, especially in film.
Yeah, so if you get a chance, pick up the book. You got plenty of time before it comes out in film. The trade paperback should be out there. And, like I said, it's pretty awesome. What else you got there, Anthony?
What I've got is something that should appeal to you as much as it does to me. I'm not sure if it will, but it should. Because John Constantine, our version of John Constantine, is portrayed by Matt Ryan in the what seems to have been canceled WB adaptation. Well, CW, I'm sorry, CW adaptation, isn't really dead. So, news reports seem to suggest that John Constantine, Matt Ryan's John Constantine, will be making an appearance. It's only a one-shot episode, but he will show up in Arrow this season. So I don't know what that says about the direction that Arrow is taking, if Constantine is showing up during the course of the season, but I like the chain-smoking, kind of crazy character that Constantine became, and getting to see him again is just really awesome. Let's see. Executive producer Mark Guggenheim had said the show would like to bring the character in, but didn't go so far as to say it was a done deal. That has changed recently with the CW announcement at the Television Critics Association presentation. So we know for certain that Constantine is going to be showing up this season in Arrow.
Well, that is pretty awesome. At least, he's not dead yet, and hopefully if he gets enough fanfare from it, he'll be able to show up in more episodes the following season, if Arrow continues on its path the way it's going.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you and I are the only people that it took a while for us to actually get into the character. It took a while for them to really, over the course of that single season, to really develop him to the point that we were invested. And I think the ratings reflected that, which is unfortunate for the show. But the character was awesome. And the actor that they had portraying him, by the end of the season, it felt great. It felt right. So I want to see more of him, and I hope that this one-shot in Arrow isn't a last hurrah. But we'll see where it goes.
Awesome. One of my favorite comic books in the past, I'd say, 2 decades or so, is being produced and potentially be turned into a new film, and that is 100 Bullets. Tom Hardy, the actor that we've all known to, grow and make fun of, as far as his Bane voice goes. He's actually an amazing actor. Everything I've seen him in, I just love him. Tom Hardy is set to produce and potentially star in an adaptation of Brian Azzarello and Eduardo Risso's gritty comic 100 Bullets for New Line. He may potentially play an enigmatic man named Agent Graves, who presents different random people with a gun, the identity of the person who ruined their lives, and 100 rounds of untraceable ammunition. I believe we've reviewed it here on the show a few times, too. I know I've presented it up to the comic book club when we've had meetings. It's an amazing book. I'm a huge fan of it. I'm a big fan of Azzarello's writing. Huge fan of Tom Hardy. So to see that he may be putting something together, as far as this is concerned, is awesome. However, I do not see him as Agent Graves, because the last time I saw Hardy, he's still pretty beefy. And Agent Graves is, an older gentleman. Gritty, but, older. So we'll see how that works out. But hopefully we'll see it come to fruition and it'll be a good movie.
That's true. But I think, if Hardy is attempting to minimize his own role, since he's playing such a big part in getting the project going, if he's attempting to minimize his own role on screen in the film, then portraying Agent Graves would work with the 100 Bullets story, because he kind of pops up and then disappears.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I don't think I ever got as into 100 Bullets as you did, but it was a great property. It is a great property.
That's so awesome. A whole bunch of individual stories, so if the one movie comes off good, then you're looking at a potential series, trilogy or what have you. provided they don't turn it into like The Losers, it should be a good show. Good movie. And
that's really cool because Tom Hardy has done some great work in recent years. So
absolutely.
I'd like to see what he does with it. All right, moving on and shifting away from TV and film just for a minute for myself. I am a video game junkie, and I have been spending a ridiculous amount of time playing Destiny lately. There's been a lot of talk, a lot of speculation about the next Destiny expansion that's due to come out, The Taken King. And at the price point, people weren't really buying into it, because $40 is a lot for an expansion. But it's starting to sound like essentially they have retooled the entirety of the Destiny universe for The Taken King. In a comment from the community manager, Eric Osborne, he states, "I don't have any trouble saying that The Taken King is well more than twice as much content as The Dark Below." And for those of you who don't play Destiny, The Dark Below was essentially half of the content that Destiny was originally. "The story is great. There's 7 Crucible multiplayer maps. There's 3 brand new strikes, and they're the best strikes we've delivered to date. We've got the Dreadnought, which is not just a big new destination to explore. It's really deep and layered, and there's tons of little secrets and things you can collect, and riddles and clues and stories and quest logs and more guns and more gear and exotics." Essentially, they've built half of Destiny all over again for one expansion, which is great. It's due out in just a few months, and, you know, as one of those people who's been playing Destiny for a while, I've burned through all of the current content. So seeing this much new content kind of justifies the price point for me. And it, from the demos that I saw at E3 and from the trailers that have been released since, the screen grabs and this little bit of information, it looks like it'll be more than worth the time and money.
I still need to play that game.
Have you played Halo?
Long time ago.
Okay. Well, since it is from the producers of Halo, it is more or less an MMO version of Halo.
I'm sure it is, and I know all about it. I'm just saying, I want a PlayStation 4 so I can play it. That and Batman.
A PlayStation 4? Not an Xbox One? Specifically PlayStation 4?
Yep.
Destiny's all over the freaking place.
I don't care.
You do have a PS3, right?
I'm a Sony man.
And, well, you've got a PS3. Destiny came out on PS3.
Good for it. I'm not going to play it on there.
You want the beefed up graphics and better looks, don't you?
Yes.
And, all right. What have you got?
Moving on. In what some will deem a deliberate action to generate buzz, HD quality pilots of 4 of this fall's key new series have popped up on internet piracy sites week before their scheduled TV premieres.
Which 4?
Fox's Minority Report and Lucifer, NBC's Blindspot, and The Carmichael Show. Which is funny because, you know, Supergirl came out a couple months earlier, 6 months ahead of their premiere. I honestly would not be surprised if this is how some of the studios are trying to, like, just test the waters and see, like, is it worth it? Let's put it up on the piracy sites and see how it downloads. You know, because, I mean,
It is a good way to test the waters.
I watched Lucifer last night, and it was high-quality video with finished graphics. And, so it should have been on TV. So seeing this come out there, it has to make you wonder if it indeed is, publicity stunt. But on that same note, I saw Lucifer. And honestly, I don't think this show's going to last too long. Only because, except for different locations, it's pretty much exactly like Constantine. The character is the devil, he's an asshole, he deals with some random occult stuff, and he tries to solve crimes in the meantime. So, you know, that's Constantine.
The difference is what Fox does as far as date and time slot for that show. if they locate it right, it might actually just pick up the Constantine audience that didn't give it the ratings it should have gotten throughout its run.
And honestly, I'm surprised that they're keeping the name Lucifer, like, because, you know, I was thinking about it. I was going to text you, and I was going to text Richard last night, like, I was going to say Lucifer is awesome. And then I thought about it.
Yeah, that's an ambiguous text. It's one of those,
right, what? And you can't just be like, oh, man, I love Lucifer, you know, stuff like that. So you're going to look out for stuff that's going to... So honestly, I'm impressed that they kept the name. Now, I thought the show was great. The episode I saw was fantastic. I liked the actor that got to play Lucifer. even though he was in another summer show that came out last year that I really liked. It's sad to see him leave that show to come here, but hey. Now, it's on Fox, so I doubt you're going to see a lot of crossovers happening. But, I don't know, man. I like the show, and I like to see it go further. I am going to take some time tonight and watch Blindspot Minority Report. But I saw Minority Report. It looked really cool. I'm excited to see it. And I hope it goes somewhere. I hope it lasts. But honestly, until I watch the full episode, I can't give you an honest review. So check back onto our website. I may write one up for it. Blindspot, I just don't know if I want to watch it right now or wait till I have some time alone in my office with some lotion and some rags.
That was far more information than anybody needed.
Anybody, but everybody was thinking it. So
anybody being me.
So hush your mouth. So anyway, that wraps up our news segment. For any more information, you want to check out some news bits, head over to our website. You can see it all listed up there, along with Anthony's new review, which he should have up sometime soon. This is me actually pressuring Anthony into writing the review. So
yes, yes.
There you have it. We'll go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll be talking about Fantastic Four.
Hello, everyone. This is Anthony White of the Panelcast, asking you to check out my bi-monthly column, Messages from the Ether, on the Forbidden Panel website. It's a column about my adventures at conventions, as well as my experiences playing new and old video games and experiencing new anime. That's Messages from the Ether, only on ForbiddenPanel.com. Welcome back, everybody. It's time for something that could be fantastic, could be wonderful, could be mildly entertaining. It's review time. So I will kick it over to AJ and let him start us off.
Well, first off, let me first apologize. We seem to be having a little bit of technical issues on our side. So you may hear the audio bouncing out every now and then, so we do apologize for that, and thank you for sticking with us, especially you, Richard, because I know you're listening. Anthony and I braved the horrors, as it may be, and caught Fantastic Four this past week. Yeah. First off, we knew going in it wasn't going to be that great. But we still had to go anyway. We, you know, again, we subscribe to that belief. We can't talk about it or have an opinion about it if we don't see it or experience it. So we went and saw it, knowing that our expectations were low. Apparently, the expectations weren't low enough. I was very upset that I wasted a free movie ticket on the movie. That should tell you something right there.
I wasted $12.
I wasted a free movie ticket. I wasted points. That's like, you know, cashing in your miles to die in an airplane crash. There's just... It's... Yeah.
It kind of was that bad.
First off, let me just say that it's not that it was a bad Fantastic Four movie. It was just a bad film put together totally. So, I mean, it's not that Fantastic Four can't be made into a good movie. I believe it has the power and potential to be so. So, there wasn't that problem. It was just the way that this film came out. It just wasn't put together properly. You can tell where the obvious reshoots were going. You can tell that the entire last scene, the last act, was full CGI. And it just made no sense. When the film starts out, I'd say for about the first half hour, you know, you're getting used to these new storylines, these new origin stories and whatnot. And at that 30-minute mark, I sat there and was like, okay, I got it. I'm sold. Let's do this. So at that point, like, I was sold on what their story was going to be and was ready to go with it. 45 minutes to about half hour before the movie ended, it completely changed up and became something so sloppy and crappy that I just couldn't find any redeeming factors out of it. So I was just very, very disappointed in the film. What were your opinion, Anthony?
You know, I think I started out with my opinion going in. My opinion was on the ground. I honestly didn't believe it could be any worse than anything I expected. That's a bad way to start that, because it was worse. I'm sorry, but it was worse. I mean, it's like, okay, so we're not going to get a typical comic book superhero knockdown drag out action flick. You know, I accepted that. It took a while to get things started as far as the film goes and seeing which direction they were going and everything. I accepted that. I wasn't really thrilled with the casting of certain characters, but that's a personal bias. But you know what? I accepted that. You can only accept so much before you finally just go, what the heck's going on here?
Right.
And I think by about 45 minutes or an hour in, I was at that point. When you give me one basis, it's like, okay, we're going to go this direction. We're not going to take you the typical direction. We're going to take these characters and we're going to wrap them up in something else. We're going to send you in this direction. Well, okay. You know what? It may not be what I wanted. It may not be what I was going in looking for. But since I went in looking for nothing, I was okay accepting that. 45 minutes to an hour in, you completely change that direction without giving me any reason, any purpose, any real connection as to what's going on. You just go in a different direction on me. It's like, okay, why? And when I start asking why while the film is still going on, that becomes problematic. I mean, yeah. There were elements that I enjoyed. I can't say I enjoyed the look of Doctor Doom. I can say I enjoyed rampages caused by Doctor Doom.
Well, you know, let's take this opportunity to go into specifics
about
what we liked and didn't like. For example, the first thing that really upset me when the movie started was exactly how young these characters were. I mean, I already knew that the actors themselves are, you know, somewhat younger audience, or somewhat younger people. But for some reason, they just came across as pre-teeny. Like, they seemed so tiny and minuscule. The actors, the way they were shot, everything itself kind of, like, put me off. I felt like I was watching, you know, Vampire Diaries or you know, Vampire Academy, sorry.
I completely agree with that one.
So that bothered me. The Thing, I liked the way The Thing looked. I really did. I didn't like that he had no genitalia, you know. But there was a certain scene where, you know, Reed's like, does it hurt? And he's like, you get used to it after a while. I never thought about that. I never thought that maybe being the Thing caused Ben Grimm pain. And so that right there, you know, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. That's personal. That's awesome. That, you know. So I appreciated that. I liked The Thing. I liked the way he looked. I thought he looked better than any other iterations or versions of him ever. Sure, he was purely CGI. His voice was annoying. He said it's clobbering time, which, I mean, sure, it was like throwing a life preserver into a volcano. You know, like, at that point, what's the point? But what I really liked, I loved, for those of you who haven't seen the movie, apparently a lot of people haven't because the numbers are just horrendous.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. But first off, there's a scene where Dr. Doom is walking through the hallway and he's literally killing people with his head, with his mind. just brains exploding all over the fucking wall. I love that scene.
That was my favorite scene in the entire film.
And unfortunately, that scene is 30 seconds long. Dr. Doom looked like crap. I mean, yes, they explained it away, but he still...
Sort of.
He still looked like crap. They completely changed his powers from technological or even sorcery and made him earthbound. Made him bound to the properties of the planet that they were stuck on. So in some aspects, he was like Scar, the Hulk's kid, where he controlled the planet's gravitational field and stuff, and that didn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah.
Reed Richards himself, Miles Teller did the best job that he could have, so I can't get mad at him, but I didn't like... The effects were kind of cool with him stretching and stuff. Just, it just felt wrong. Felt forced.
We're honestly reaching for positives at
right.
this point. There was so little about this film to take away that was positive. We got to justify spending 2 hours in the theater watching it somehow.
Right.
I mean, bad wire work.
Yeah.
A couple of really, really, really awful costume faux pas, bad wigs and hair pieces and things of that nature.
I didn't mind Michael Story B. Jordan plot- as Johnny Storm. I thought he did a good job with the material he had. His costume made no sense to me, though.
Exactly. But I will say the graphics for him, for the Human Torch, they did look pretty cool.
Right. No, as far as graphics goes, for like the effects... Of Reed Richards stretching, the effects of the Human Torch when he flamed on, the effects of the thing, top notch. I thought they did a great job.
Yeah.
Sue Storm was stupid. and you could tell the reshoots because she had hair extensions during the reshoots, and you can see them. They were obvious hair extensions because they were a different shade of blonde, and I'm colorblind.
Yeah.
And you can tell how unhappy she was on the set. Now, there have been rumors floating around that the director was happy with his casting choices, but he was not happy with her because she was forced upon him by the studio. She was not his first choice. So he would constantly berate her and almost like, you know, verbally abuse her on the set. And there, you can see that in the film. She was not happy to be there. Everybody else seemed to have been. And from that, all this controversy is coming up about how the director just hated being on the film, that he was forced to do this, and that he had signed a contract, you know, or that his previous two films were indie films, so this was a big-budget film, so he just didn't know what to do. Whatever the reason was, whatever the excuse is, the bottom line is, when you watched it, you knew it was wrong. Why did you keep putting it out?
Seriously. It's like both director and studio have more or less disavowed this film. It's one of those things. It's like, oh no, we didn't screw up. That guy did. Or, oh no, I didn't screw up. Those guys did. But right. We know it's screwed up.
Everybody's pointing fingers everywhere, but the bottom line is, it's bad. So much so that Sony has gone ahead and taken a $60 million write-off on this film, meaning that they expect to lose $60 million out of this film. Which, I mean, it's been a week, and the film worldwide has barely made $45 million. Opening Ouch. Weekend, it made $26 million. And currently, in the rating system, it sits below Batman and Robin.
George Clooney, Batman and Robin?
Yes, people liked that movie better than they liked Fantastic Four. So that should tell you how bad it is. And word of mouth is getting out, because like I said, from the numbers you can see, nobody's going to see this movie. Nobody wants to see this movie. You'll be lucky if people pirate it at this point.
Yeah, I mean, whether you're director or studio, you had to know something was wrong. Somewhere during the production process, you had to know, looking at dailies, looking at just pieces, or even being on the set, you had to know, okay, this is flawed. At some point, you should just accept, okay, maybe we need to make some tweaks, maybe we need to make some changes. Maybe we need to reshoot entire sections. Maybe we need to rethink this project. You don't just push it out.
I think at some point in time it became a mission to put out this movie, only because of the static that Michael B. Jordan was getting over the casting, his casting as Johnny Storm.
But like, he did an awesome job with the role he was given.
And they explained that away too.
Like, I know.
They didn't just say random black dude. No, like he was the head guy's son. You know, they everything made sense. The explanation of everything made sense. It's just the execution looked like shit.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? The way the film actually started, I expected, okay, a scientist adventure movie. That's where we started off at. And Fantastic Four, they are, most of them are, at least anyway, scientists. So I can accept that instead of the superhero full-on action sequence.
Honestly, Fantastic Four, there's only two scientists. The rest are just, one's a pilot, the other one's a jock.
That's true. But, you know, I was willing to buy into the mystique and let it go. I was willing to try. But you had to fuck that up, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
And here's
I'm
what's
kind of glad I sat through it, but at the same time, I sat through it. I spent money to sit through it, and I can't, in good conscience, recommend anyone else do the same.
Now, here's what's sad about the whole fiasco. They're going forward with the sequel.
Really?
And they're going forward with the tie-ins to the possible tie-in to the X-Men films.
But how? Doom? No?
But here's your first clue that you did. You shouldn't be doing this. A, there isn't even any Fantastic Four comic books anymore. They fucking canceled the series. Clue. B, this movie was exactly like the first Fantastic Four.
Okay. It's hard for me to say this. It really is. But the first Fantastic Four was better.
Yep.
It was a really messed up movie. There were holes and flaws and just problems all over the place, but it was still better. Jeez. I don't even know what to do with this one. It was just a rough ride. It was difficult. Yeah. It was painful. At least you only wasted a free ticket. I spent money on it. But rather than dwell and vent any further than we already have, I think I'll just say, okay, that's what it is. It is what it is. You've heard our opinions. I'm certain you've read the opinions all over the web at this point. So we will wrap up the review section here, and we will be back with you right after this break.
Hi, this is Justin White with Necrosapien Press. Why don't you come down and check out the website at necrosapien.net. You can see all my latest artwork and projects, and we'll have a store up soon where you can buy prints of my art. Thanks.
It's in times like this, the great heaven knows.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the panel cast. Well, that wraps up another episode for us. So the bottom line is don't go see Fantastic Four. Instead, go see Straight Outta Compton this week. That looks awesome. Go see Man from U.N.C.L.E. That looks pretty cool, too. Avoid Fantastic Four. It's a fantastic flop.
Yeah. So many problems.
So, this, not this weekend, but on August 22nd, which is next weekend, Four Color Fantasies is hosting a Star Wars art gallery opening at their store in Rancho. A lot of our artists and creators will be there, including Robert Lampier and Justin White. We will also be there in support of our friends and families. So if you can, head on out there. There are going to be a lot of like seriously amazing and talented artists out there and one shitty one. if you can, make it out there. The information's on the Facebook page for Four Color Fantasies. Just head on out there. It's going to be awesome. Other than that, we've got a few movies that we'll be coming back and reviewing when we come back on episode 139. Getting close to the episode 150, which I'm excited about. So, without any further ado, please remember to check out ForbiddenPanel.com. Please check out the store. Find some awesome artwork. This month's artist is Richard Duran. We've got some of his prints up there for sale. Check out our Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, YouTube channels. We're all over the place. Just head on out there and give us a hey, what's up? If you have any questions or comments, please shoot us an email, aj@forbiddenpanel.com, or you can reply in the comments section and let us know what you think of the show and if you agree with us on any of our opinions. So if there's nothing else, then for Anthony, I am AJ, and thanks again for tuning into the Panelcast, and we'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.